The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
We thank you for your presence with us here today. It is so good to be together, and it's good to celebrate you and all that you have done. I pray that this morning as we look at worship, Lord, please open our hearts and speak to us by your Spirit and through your word. And Lord, I also want to pray for our kids. I know your heart is for every single one of them. And as they worship you with their mates today, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them and that you would grow them into little followers of you. And I pray that as they worship and as they hear your word, I pray that they'd have an awesome time, Lord, in the areas in which they are this morning, learning more about you. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, church. Today we continue our core value series. And this morning we're looking at the core value that is inspiring community celebration. And the little blurb to go with that, it's going to come up on the screen here, is this. LifeStreams is committed to worship that passionately exalts Christ, bringing people into the tangible presence of God, inspiring hope and inspiring faith. And church, that is our heart. That is our heart as we gather together each Sunday. I wonder what strikes you out of this core value. As you read that core value, what is it that grabs you or gets your attention? I'm wondering whether you notice that this core value is about corporate worship. This is about our corporate gathering. It's about our Sundays. And I wonder where you are at today with our corporate gathering. I wonder what you think about our corporate worship. Now, I've been in church for quite some time now, ever since I became a Christian at 15 years of age. And I've heard many, many perspectives. I've heard many attitudes and thoughts towards corporate worship. And I'd have to say that corporate worship is arguably the most consumed, the most contentious, and the most talked about thing we do as a church. And I often hear things like, singing songs in church is just weird. Where else in life does that happen? Where else do you stand and sing to the back of someone else's head? Where do you do that? Singing is weird. I also hear, blokes don't sing. Who's heard that before? And blokes struggle with corporate worship. You know, we struggle with songs that we say are Jesus is my boyfriend type songs. You know, songs like Jesus, lover of my soul. As blokes, we struggle to sing those kind of songs. And being a bloke, I understand that. I understand how that is. But I also know that blokes do sing. They do sing. It's usually after a few beers, and it's usually when their team wins. Do you know, singing is the overflow of our hearts. And there's this smart guy by the name of Calvin Coolidge. He says, it's only when men begin to worship that they begin to grow. I think he might be onto something there. Just worth thinking about. I hear this one a lot. Rod, you do know that worship is more than singing. Yep, I agree, spot on. You know, we know that worship is Romans 12:1. It's a living sacrifice. It's all of our lives is worship. But I want to say this morning that it is singing as well. So we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, we were created to make a noise. And notice how I said make a noise, because for some of us, it is making a noise. For others of us, it's singing. But we were created to do that. And I love how Jesus in Luke 19, you might remember, I think it's Palm Sunday, during his triumphal entry, he says, if they, and he's talking about the disciples, if they, the disciples, keep quiet, what's going to happen? The rocks will cry out. I love that. And you know what? The rocks do cry out, because when you are in creation, or when you're in the northwest of our state, or when you're in that beautiful God place where you connect with God and you look at his creation, it cries out, doesn't it? I also often hear, the music is too loud. The music is too soft. We don't sing enough hymns. We don't sing enough contemporary songs. The drums are too loud. The drums are too soft. You will be surprised. There's too much repetition. There's too much standing. There's too much sitting. Phew! And you know what? Most of what I've just communicated is essentially about style. It's about taste. It's about what we've grown up with. It's about what we like. It's about what we don't like. And I reckon that's where corporate worship gets tricky. That's where corporate worship as a family gathered on a Sunday gets really tricky. So what is your take on corporate worship? What is your take this morning? Now, I'm a firm believer that our corporate worship or our time together on a Sunday actually reflects our own personal worship during the week. A guy by the name of Tim Hughes says, songs of worship arise out of a life of worship. This is such a broad topic. Worship. There's many places I could go this morning. And I've wrestled to figure out what to focus on. But I thank God that during a time of prayer on Monday morning, I was just saying, God, where do I go with this message today? And I sensed God to say to me, and this is what he said. He said, encourage the church to simply worship me. That's what I felt God say to me, to say to you this morning. Today's big idea, and if you don't hear anything else today, please hear this. God is saying to us as a church, simply worship me. Worship him. Worship me in church on Sunday, and worship me during the week where I have you placed. It's corporate and it's also individual. So how do we do that? What does it look like? Well, this morning I want to share a few thoughts out of a psalm. It's good to preach out of the Old Testament from time to time. And I've been led to Psalm 96. And if you've got your Bibles, I'd love you to turn there. But first, before we read, a little bit of context. This psalm bears striking resemblance to a song that was composed by David. And that song was used to celebrate the Ark of the Covenant being placed into the tabernacle. If you want to do some more in-depth reading, 2 Samuel 6, 1 Chronicles 16, you'll see this psalm. And this psalm belongs to a group of psalms, 93 through to 100. And you might already know this, but they're commonly known or termed as the praise psalms. So today, we're looking at Psalm 96, one of the praise psalms. And I'm wanting to do a responsive reading this morning. And I want us to stand, because that's what you do when you do a responsive reading. And I'm going to read the first line, so that first line in italics, And then I would love you, church, to read the line that is bold and underlined. Is that cool? Let's do this. Let's read Psalm 96. Verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Declare His glory among the nations. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. For all the gods of the nations are idols. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for He comes. He will judge the world in righteousness. That's the word of the Lord this morning. Please take a seat. If you boil the psalm down, essentially the psalmist this morning is encouraging us to worship Him, to worship the Lord. So what does that look like and what does it require? Well, a couple of things this morning. I believe this psalm is encouraging us to praise and to proclaim. Worship requires praise and proclamation. In Psalm 96, notice the repetition here. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. The psalm invites and encourages all the earth to do what? To praise His name. Now, praise is the expression of respect and gratitude as an act of worship. And that might actually help the blokes to worship, because we find it tough to adore something, don't we? But we respect. We can respect someone like Jesus. And so that might be just worth, if you struggle to sing in church, that we respect our God. It also involves honor and thanksgiving and exaltation. It involves devotion, giving glory. It also involves adoration, reverence, and tribute. Now, praise. What is praise? Well, praise is turning our attention towards God. And as we do that, we begin to recognize Him for who He is and for what He's done. And then we then express that recognition by the attitudes of our hearts, by the words of our mouth, and by our desire to please Him with the way that we live our lives. So what does praise look like? Just two things this morning. And dare I say it, the first one is we sing. We sing. Three times here, what does the psalmist encourage us to do? Encourages us to sing to the Lord. Now, we associate singing with a gladness of heart, the overwhelming sense of our hearts. But the worship is not to remain in our hearts. It's also to come out of our mouths. And why do we sing? Well, we sing because we sing when we're happy. We sing to celebrate and to thank Him for all that He's done. And maybe just a simple, practical response that the Spirit is encouraging you with this morning, or the Spirit prompting you to do, is to sing. Maybe it's time to sing. Maybe it's time to sing a new and a fresh song to the Lord. So that's how we praise. That's the first way, we sing. The second way is we proclaim. Verse 2a says, proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. What is to be proclaimed, church? Salvation. Day after day after day. And what is to be declared? Well, the glory of the Lord is to be declared. And His wonders. And you know, those wonders are all of those awe-inspiring, breathtaking things that God has done through history. And Israel's history is full of these wonders. You know, Moses at the burning bush, the plagues upon Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea. They're just to name a few of those awe-inspiring, breathtaking acts of God. But as breathtaking as those wonders are, or were, they do not begin to compare to the greatest wonder of all. The wonder of which all the people of God in every area, in every era can speak. And that's the wonder of His grace. That's the wonder of His salvation. It consists nothing less than the holy God making a way for sinners to be restored into relationship with Himself. And one of the practical ways that we can proclaim His salvation is by sharing communion and remembering what Christ has done for us on the cross. We do this corporately every single week because it proclaims His salvation and it declares His glory. So I'm wondering, ushers, we're going to take a few moments now to share communion together. And if, please don't hold back, ushers, just hand them straight out. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. And it says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup saying," yeah, please hand it out, ushers. "He took the cup saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." You proclaim salvation. So church, this morning, let's eat and drink in remembrance of what Christ has done. Pray. Jesus, we thank You so much. Thank You so much for all that You have done. So church, we've just looked at the fact that worship requires praise and proclamation. We're now going to move on because it also requires focus. And just read from verse 4 of our psalm this morning. "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary." One of the ways we worship our God is by being focused entirely upon Him. The psalmist pronounces the Lord's greatness and that He alone is God. And essentially what he is saying here is that our big G God, see the See the big G there when he refers to our God is greater than the little g gods. They are mere idols who have no power over the heavenly realms because our big G God made the heavens and he is in control of all things. So that got me thinking. Got me thinking during the week. Idolatry can be a major, major roadblock of us worshipping God. In fact, some would say that the opposite of worship is idolatry. And idolatry can be defined as worship or reverence given to any created, notice that, any created object or person. Anything that gets in the way of our worship of God. So I wonder, what are the things in your world? What are the little g gods, the idols, that are getting in the way of you worshipping our big G God? Do you find it sometimes to be focused on God? What consumes your thought world? Is there a person that consumes your thought world? Is there an event on the horizon that consumes your thought world? Or is there a thing that consumes your thought world? Church, this morning, worship requires focus. Worship also requires sacrifice. In verse 7 it says, "Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations." Ascribe to the Lord, give glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The word ascribe here can actually be translated to the word give. Give to the Lord. You insert that word there for ascribe. Give to the Lord due honor by acts of worship. And you know, the last part of verse 8 here actually gives us a practical way to do that this morning. When this psalm was written, people would take offerings to the temple. And the specific word refers to thank offerings, or those things the people would give out of the gratitude of their hearts to the Lord for all that he has done. And the psalmist here encourages us to give to the Lord the glory due his name and bring an offering and come into his courts. And I can think of at least three practical ways that we can bring an offering or a sacrifice to the Lord. And the first one is, and I've already referred to it this morning, and you saw it in our video bumper this morning, it's the Romans 12, 1 and 2. It tells us to offer our everything. It tells us to be our living sacrifice, a living sacrifice to the Lord. And when we surrender fully to him, we will worship him with the offering of our lives. So that's the first way, Romans 12, 1 way. The second way is we can ascribe greatness to God with, and here it is again, songs and hymns. Hebrews 13, verse 15 encourages us to bring a sacrifice of praise, to bring a sacrifice of praise. And the third way is we also worship God when we offer our resources, when we offer our time, when we offer our money, when we offer our everything to him for his kingdom purposes. So church, three very simple ways. Romans 12, one way. We can bring a sacrifice of praise and we can offer or give our resources. Worship requires sacrifice. What does sacrifice look like in your world? it's worth thinking about. Then verse 10 says, among the nations the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. The last stanza of this hymn gives us great hope and reminds us that Jesus is coming back again. And in the meantime, we are called to simply worship him. We're also encouraged and called to tell others about God's glorious deeds and about salvation. This fact that Jesus is coming again has obvious implications on the way we worship, the way we praise, the way we proclaim, the way we sow, the way we sacrifice, the way we focus, and the way we serve. Expect his return, church. Now it's time to land this message. I'm wondering whether you would, just in a simple act of worship, just bow your heads in a time of reflection. I want you to remember what the Lord wants to say to us this morning. Remember, he's encouraging us to simply worship him. Worship me. And I just want to give you a few moments just to reflect on what we've looked at. What has the Spirit been saying to you? Maybe you want to write some stuff down. What has God been saying to you about worship through this psalm? Maybe this morning you've been challenged to worship him. I read during the week this quote, "Our choice is not if we will worship, but what or who." Worship him, church. Or maybe this morning the Lord has challenged you to sing. You know, the Bible contains over 400 references to singing and 50 direct commands to sing. And we're commanded twice in the New Testament to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's something deeply spiritual and deeply profound about singing. And maybe that's what the Lord has challenged you to do this morning. Maybe he's challenged you to just simply stay focused on him. Deal with the idols. Deal with the things that are getting in the way of your worship of him. Maybe he's saying, give your resources. Worship him with your everything. Or maybe he said, worship expecting my return. Worship expecting his return. Get ready for Jesus to come back. And this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, can I encourage you to find out more about the one who claims to save you from your sins? There are people here this morning who'd love to have a conversation with you about that. And lastly, whatever your worship style, whatever your worship taste, whatever it is, he's simply saying, focus on me. Worship me. Let's pray. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Yes, God, that is our heart this morning. You are so worthy of our worship. You are so worthy of our praise. We declare your glory and we proclaim you as King. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to worship you and worship you alone. Keep teaching us what it means to praise, to sing, to be focused on you, and to sacrifice our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.